Amen. Again, thankful for everybody that's here today. Amen. Praise God for the goodness of the Lord. We love you today. Thank you so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to begin with verse 1. Read the first 9 verses today. If you don't have your Bibles, look to the screen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody standing at the table. Got your word. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Say a good amen.
Amen.
Come on. You can do better than that. A good amen. There you go, there you go. Amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 says this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Amen? Amen. They're going to blast the shofars, and I want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Will you do that? Amen. Come on, let's bless him. Hallelujah. Not Pentecost yet. When it's not Pentecost yet, look at your neighbor and say, it's not Pentecost yet. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know that most churches today are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. Amen. You've probably seen it. You'll probably see, amen, a post later on, amen, of celebrating Pentecost Sunday. They calculated from the celebration, from when they celebrated Resurrection Sunday, which was March the 31st. Now, we know that the word Pentecost, it means 50 in the Greek, and it is the word Shavuot in Hebrew, which means weeks. Because the reason that it is called the Festival of Shavuot, or it is called Pentecost in the Greek, it's not because it's a denomination or a religious belief, but it is because of the weeks that come prior, amen, following the Passover. That is why it is called, amen, the Feast of Weeks. There are 7 weeks, amen, praise God, that are a part of this counting. It's called the counting of the Omer, but the weeks leading up, amen, from the Passover unto Pentecost. Now, 7 weeks from Resurrection Sunday, which was the 31st, brings us to today. This is why a lot of churches are celebrating Pentecost Sunday today. But the Bible tells us, gives us instruction in Leviticus chapter 23. I mentioned this early on, I think, when we were in Passover, resurrection, going into it, whatever. Amen. But the scripture tells us instructions in Leviticus 23 on how to calculate Shavuot or Pentecost. It tells us that it is to be counted as 7 Sabbaths, which are Saturdays. That's not Sundays. It is Saturdays. So 7 Sabbaths or 7 Saturdays plus 1 day, beginning with the Feast of First Fruits. Now, to understand how to calculate that, so keep that in mind. You have to count 7 Sabbaths or 7 Saturdays or 7 weeks plus 1 day. So that's 7 weeks is 49 days plus 1 day is 50, is where you get again the 50th day. And so the Bible says that it's to be 7 Sabbaths plus a day from beginning with the Feast of First Fruits. Now, Passover consists of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then Feast of First Fruits. So there are three of those feasts in the Passover feast, but most of the time it's just called Passover, and it lasts for the 8 days. And so they were told in the scripture that from the Feast of First Fruits, which is the third feast in Passover, that's when you begin to count 7 Sabbaths, 7 Saturdays, plus a day. Now, the Feast of First Fruits is always on the Sunday after the first Sabbath during the week of Passover. Does that make sense? So Passover fell on Tuesday this week. So the first Sabbath after Tuesday would have been that following Saturday, which it fell on the 22nd this year. So that first Sabbath would have been the 27th. And now, so you begin counting, that would have been, then the next day is Sunday. So you would begin counting the first fruits on that Sunday. And so from that Sunday, you count up 7 Sabbaths and 1 day. So from the 28th of April, we count up 7 Sabbaths and a day, which comes again from Passover. That's when we get God's account of the Feast of Pentecost, which just so happens to be on the 16th of June. It is on Father's Day. Now, that is Pentecost Sunday. So it really always falls on a Sunday. And so from April 27th, we now are counting 7 Sabbaths. From then, amen, from that feast, amen, of first fruits. So that takes us again, brings us to the 16th. And so now when you look at any Hebrew calendar and you look on our bulletin, it's going to tell you that June 11th through the 13th is the Feast of Pentecost or Shavuot. This is because the Orthodox Jews begin counting it from the second day of Passover. So they begin to count it from the 23rd. So there's just a few days difference there in that. But it really does fall, always fall on a Sunday based on the scripture. So that would bring us to June the 16th. And so either way, understand me, either way, amen, it's still the same thing. Amen. But bottom line, either way, whether you want to look at it at the 11th of June or the 16th of June, it's not today. Okay, because we don't calculate it from resurrection, but we calculate it from Passover. Now, I'm not knocking anyone, because that's just how it's been done in the Western church all of these decades. Now, remember, none of this, again, has any basis on our salvation. You're like, what's Pentecost even got to do with me? What's Passover got to do with me? Well, it's got a lot to do with you, because it's the reason you're here today. Amen. It's the reason you've been grafted in. Amen. It's the reason you've been accepted into this glorious covenant. Amen. But what I need you to remember is that, amen, these feasts have no basis, amen, for our salvation. But it can have bearing on the joy of our salvation. And so there is a difference. Amen. So not that anything that this has nothing to do with whether or not we are saved. And so if you don't recognize Pentecost, you're not going to go to hell. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. But if you do recognize it according to the word, and you have an understanding of what God did and what Jesus did, I promise you, it will bring, amen, revelation and a sense of joy and victory to your walk with Jesus Christ that would not be there otherwise. I can say that unequivocally, amen, and believe that based on the word of God. Amen. When you understand God, and here's why it's important to take the time to look at this, at the feast and at these appointed times. Because when you understand God, you understand that He is a God of patterns. He is a God of cycles. He is a God of, amen, appointed times. And so that way, you can take joy in knowing, amen, praise God, the predictability of God's faithfulness. See, when you understand that God works in patterns, when you see a pattern in the Word of God, through God, you can look throughout the Word and find that pattern. You can then begin to predict the faithfulness of God according to that pattern. God works in cycles and seasons. He works in appointed times. And so He gives us these patterns, these cycles, these appointed times, so that we can predict, amen, His faithfulness. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Because He gives a declaration in His Word that during these appointed times, He is going to show up. He is going to reveal Himself during these appointed times. So you can take joy in knowing, amen, that even if you don't see Him working right now, hallelujah, because He is a God of patterns, and because He is a God of cycles, and a God of appointed times, you can predict that whether I see Him working right now or not, I know that at some point in time, He's going to show up. I know, God, somebody better help me in this place. That's why He declared covenant in the blood of Jesus. And there ain't a devil out of hell. There ain't a sickness. There ain't a symptom that can take away from the power of the blood. I need somebody to give Him praise right now for His blood. See, it's all about God's timing. When you understand that He will work, He will do what He said He would do. You may not know when He's going to do it, but because He is a God of patterns and He is a God of these appointed times, you can know that God is going to be faithful some way, somehow. And so you can stand on the fact that if He showed up this time last year, somebody, He's going to show up again this year. You may have went through a hell. It's been a tough season, and I ain't out of mine yet, but I know based on the Word of God and based on the fact that He made a promise. He said, if you will meet with Me, I will meet with you. And despite everything that has been going on, hallelujah, relief is on the way. It ain't going to stay like this forever. Your burden is lost. Somebody better help me. This too shall pass. It's all about God's timing. You don't have to know when. You just have to know Him. You don't have to know how. You just have to know Him. You don't even have to know why. You just have to know Him. Oh, come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. It's just like in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Amen. The Bible says, tells us about the sons of Issachar. They understood the times to know what Israel should do. Amen. They understood the times. They understood that God is a God of patterns, and God is a God of seasons, and God is a cyclical God. Amen. A cyclical God. He is a God that works in appointments and appointed times. They understood the times so that when they see the signs, come on somebody, they can righteously predict. I don't know when He's coming. I don't know just exactly how it's going to happen, but He's going to come. He's going to show up, and you can go to bed at night. You can have peace and you can have joy just knowing that He's going to show up. You don't have to know when it is. You just have to know. Hallelujah. I'm just laying context. Hang with me. See, they not only understood God's timing with the times and seasons, but they understood what to do in the midst of them. See, it's easy to buckle. It's easy to fuss and give up and want to relent. Come on. And not repent. Woo! That's another message. Don't relent, repent. Come on. Amen. Repent. Don't relent. That might be a title. Somebody write that down. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. They knew what to do in the midst of those times. See, if we know what God's timing is and we stay in alignment with His timing, then we will walk in unprecedented covenant blessing. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? When the financial system is going under, when the economics of the world is crashing, the covenant people of God can still be blessed going in and blessed going out. And their cup can still run over. Why? Because they're not in alignment with the world's time, but they're in alignment with heaven's time. So when you understand that Pentecost is not just a churchy tradition where we can shout, speak in tongues, and celebrate, amen, having freedom, but it is a divine. God said if you'll show up and you'll have your mind and your heart circumcised and in the right place, I'm going to release a supernatural provision that will not be released in that dimension any other time. Oh, somebody better help me. Hallelujah. So God appointed three times Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. And this to accomplish specific spiritual transactions in our lives. See, God will make sure you don't quit. Make sure that you know He's for you and not against you. He wants to make sure you know that this world is not your friend. This world is not even your home. It's just a temporary pass-through. Hallelujah, but your treasures will accomplish specific spiritual transactions in our lives. So Shavuot or Pentecost, I use it interchangeably. I don't want people to get confused. And I hope what I've already said makes sense. If it don't, see me later. I don't want to help you. I want you to understand. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to think. I don't want to assume that you understand what I'm talking about. Come on. I want to help you today. Shavuot or Pentecost is the celebration of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai when Moses brought God's people out of Egypt's bondage, the Passover. So it is the celebration of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai on the first Passover. And guess when it happened? According to what God established. After the first Sabbath, that follows the Passover 50 days after that first Sabbath. Okay, so you get that Sabbath. So see that, you say, why one day? Because if you count, see, for them, counting Sabbaths made sense. Because they use the Sabbath in a different way that we do. So they would count seven Sabbaths, and he doesn't want anything happening on the Sabbath in that way, in that nature, so that it doesn't give anybody any. So there's always that one day after, so it always falls on that Sunday. Okay, God makes sure. Are you with me? And so what happened on Mount Sinai? God opened the heavens. Did he not? He revealed himself and his word in such a way that he had never revealed himself before. He showed his presence and his glory and manifested himself in a way to those people that he had never done before in history. Are you with me? Pentecost. Pentecost is a time when God reveals his heart to his people. And there we renew our commitment. Anytime we have the opportunity to renew, we should renew. You should be renewing your mind every day, right? So anytime we have that opportunity, amen, we should take that opportunity. But it's at Pentecost. So it again, it's a celebration of when God revealed himself in a way, and his word in a way that he had never done to anyone else before, gave them great revelation of who he was. Amen. So Pentecost is a time when God reveals his heart to his people. He told them exactly what he wanted. That Pentecost parallels with Acts chapter 2, when 120 people were gathered in the upper room after Jesus' ascension. After Jesus resurrected, 40 days later, he ascended, amen, from the Mount of Olives, amen, and 10 days later in the upper room, when the day of Pentecost came, when that day of Pentecost came after that Passover, after his resurrection, he was, amen, he fulfilled the Feast of First Fruits. The resurrection was the first fruits unto God. And so after his resurrection, amen, then 50 days later in Acts chapter 2, amen, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost came, right? Amen. It brought the Holy Ghost. It brought power. It brought authority on earth as it is in heaven. So now man had access into heaven. And come on, are you hearing me? God revealing himself to his people in a way that he had never done before. Never had man been invited into the throne room of God. Now man has been invited into the very throne room of God. And when we leave there and we come back down to reality, hallelujah, he didn't leave us without power. He didn't leave us comfortless, but he sent the revelation of the Holy Ghost in that upper room on that Pentecost to fill his people with power and authority, so that when they talk, they could talk with the same authority and power of Jesus. That when they pray, oh God, somebody help me, they can have a divine connection to the throne room of God. I need you, Kurabasha. I need you to help me. I'm trying not to get excited. I'm trying to get to my point. Hallelujah. But I'm trying to tell you, amen, God is a God of patterns and cycles and appointed times, because he wants you to see him. God is not trying to play peekaboo with you. I've said it before. He is not hiding around the corner and trying to get you to find him. He wants to be found. And he's given us all kinds of keys and all kinds of clues. And he's given us all kinds of ways to get in connection with him. And one of those ways are the feast. But you see, hey man, it's not just some ordinary throne room experience. But at that appointed time, hey man, it is parallel to that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Oh, somebody help me. Hallelujah. Your young men will have visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even your handmaidens. Are you with me? Parallel. So now, what you have to understand, that the physical part of Pentecost, the physical part of Shavuot, is they was to bring the wheat harvest offering unto God. So they would bring that wheat harvest offering. That was a provision of their harvest. That was a sign unto them that they believed, amen, what God said, that if you bring that sacrifice and you bring, amen, in obedience, I will provide for you. So then you will not have to worry. See, that's what you got to understand. Rain's going to come. Floods are going to come. Tornadoes are going to come. Amen. Catastrophe's going to come. Hallelujah. But there's a thing about being in alignment with God's timing. There's a thing about being in, amen, connection with him. Hallelujah. Because there is a part of that appointed time, hallelujah, that he promises to keep you in the midst. the storm. Amen. That if you lose something, he will not only give it back to you the way you had it, but he will restore it unto you double. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? That when it's all built back, it'll be better than what you had to begin with. It'll cause you to learn to appreciate the storm. It'll cause you to understand that our God is a faithful God.
Amen.
He's a good God. And the goodness of God. So we bring praise and we bring offering. And that positions us to receive a fresh release of his spirit. As we stand in alignment. And we posture our hearts to where God is. So Pentecost is about God's provision. The provision of harvest, the provision of the word, and the provision of the Holy Ghost. That's why we prepare for open heaven. We prepare at this appointed time for an open heaven. We don't just go through the motions, right? Because we're already saved. It has nothing to do with our salvation. We prepare for an open heaven because that's his pattern. That's how he works. On this appointed times. You see that? You understand that? That's how it does. So we prepare for an open heaven. Now you can't be preparing for an open heaven, amen, and living in defeat. And when I say living in defeat, I'm talking about identifying with defeat. Identifying, listen, I'm honest with you. I'm still in a season, amen. I wish I could tell you that I felt like all is well. I don't feel like it, but I know it. It don't look like it in certain areas, but I know that it is. Why? Because I know him. Amen. And I know the goodness of God. And because he's good, he's going to make it good. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. And I don't know what to what degree he's going to do it. But I know he's going to do it. Why? Because I've seen the pattern. I've seen the song. Somebody better help me. Amen. Hallelujah. He set you up. Hallelujah. So you can't be under an open heaven and walking in a mindset of defeat. See, Jesus rose on the Sunday after Passover, and they began to count Pentecost. He stayed on the earth, we've already said it. He stayed on the earth for 40 days before he ascended back and took his rightful seat next to the Father. So, 40 days after he resurrected on that Sunday, after he resurrected, 40 days he stayed on earth. Are you with me? And we know that he told his disciples to believe for the promise that was to come. That promise was the Holy Ghost. He told them to believe that the promise is going to come. How many believe that his promises are going to come? Come on. I mean that today. I mean that today. Look, I had such a different message for today. Like, polar opposite. And at 3:45 this morning, when I was standing up the sink, brushing my teeth, the Lord spoke this to me. And he said, this is what I want you to preach. Okay. And here we are. So I know that God's timing is perfect.
Amen.
I don't know who you are in here today and how many of you there are that need this specifically, but it's for us all.
Amen.
All you have to do is believe and then receive. Okay, you got to believe it to receive it. So he told his disciples to believe for the promise to come, and that if they would tarry in Jerusalem until it came, that they would be endued with power from on high. So he didn't tell them how long. Here we go again. He didn't tell them to hang out for 10 days. Listen, you know, if he would have said that, there would have been people showed up on the 10th day. Because that's just how we are. Come on. We want the benefit without the sacrifice. Come on. Amen. If he would have said, hang out 10 days, everybody would have been. And then they would have been, I wonder what's going to happen in 10 days. I wonder what it's going to be like. Well, it ain't happening today. Well, so we can chill. It's only the 8th day, so nothing going to happen today. So turn on the TV. Let's just chill. Let's just relax our praise. Let's just back off. Come on, somebody. We believe that you know, he said 10 days, so let's just wait. We'll get on fire after 9.5 days. Come on, somebody. You know that's how we operate. He just said, tarry, wait until. Wait until. See, it's that until that we struggle with. That's where I'm at now in my season. The until. Until what? I wish I knew until what, but I don't. But I do know this. Until he shows up, I'm going to trust him. Until he reveals the divine purpose, I'm going to put my hope and my faith in him. Why? Because I've seen him do it again and again and again. And also now, hallelujah, I can anticipate, amen, in 4 more weeks, the possibility, the probability that it might break on Father's Day, because that is an appointed time. So maybe, just maybe, it could break then. So that does what? That gives me greater hope. That gives me greater joy. That tells me I can praise him deeper than I did yesterday. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't see it, even when I don't want it, I can still praise him, because I know he will be faithful. We know what you're waiting on today. We know that on the 50th day, so 10 days they tarried, because only that day of Pentecost showed up, when that Shavuot came into fulfillment, the promise came, and they were endued with power. That word endued means to be clothed with. It means sinking into a garment. See, that kind of changes my perspective.
Yes.
Because we wait for the Holy Ghost to come on us. That tells me that they had to step into it.
Right.
They had to sink into it. They had to put on. Come on, somebody. That's where the faith comes in play. Amen. That's where the trust comes in play. That's where the waiting until comes into play. So they were endued. Are you with me? It's clothed with, sinking into a garment. Comes from a root word that means to position in place, time, or state. Hallelujah. So when God shows up, when the fullness of that Pentecost came, he positioned them, he placed them in a position that they could not be defeated, that they did not have to give up, that they did not have to walk out and say, I don't trust him, because he showed up. I need somebody to help me. So all you got to do is step into it. It's there. All you got to do is step into it. See, a lot of folks struggle with receiving the baptism because they think they got to arrive to a certain place before they are worthy for that gift to begin to operate. But all you got to do is sink into it. All you got to do is put yourself in it. I need somebody. I wish I had a pool of water. Get in it. Get in it. Get in it. Sink in it. It's there. That's what Pentecost, and it will position you in a place, in a time, in a state, not like Ohio, Oklahoma, or Mississippi, but in a state, a place of being. I'm not going to preach there, but I could, I can. Maybe I'll preach there when it's Pentecost. Father, it comes from an ancient Greek word that means to sink. And when you sink in something, when we say a ship has sunk, do we expect to see it again? So if you sink into the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, you don't ever have to show up again. The old man never had. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, I know he's in there. We're going to struggle with him. You get what I'm saying. I'm not talking super spiritual. I'm just telling you that God positions you in a place, in a state of mind, in a very position that you do not have to let the old man be in control. Because when you sink into the Holy Spirit, he now, amen, covers you. And that's your garment. That's why when you get distressed and in trouble, you can exchange a spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. You can have beauty for ashes because they ain't meant to stay there. I need you to help me. I'm trying to move on. That's an awesome thing.
Right.
And all of that in the upper room, all of that is awesome. And we know that all 12 of the disciples were there. And I understand that Matthias had replaced Judas. So they were all there. All 12 were there. And they were endued with power. Okay? And that's all good and awesome, but it's still 4 weeks away. And my mind is going like, oh, 4 weeks. Feels like it's been 4 years already. Come on, maybe I'm in this thing by myself. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one feeling this, and that's all fine and good because he's got a purpose in it. But if you're feeling this too, I want to encourage you today that even when it's not Pentecost, it's still well. And it's not Pentecost yet. Come on, somebody. But that's 4 weeks away. What about the waiting period? What about their 10 days? What about the moments leading up to Pentecost? What about when it's not Pentecost? What about that time in between? We preached a few weeks ago about being on the threshold of Passover and Pentecost. What about the in between? See, the timeline of the 40 days leading to Jesus' ascension is an interesting timeline. So from the time Jesus resurrected till he stood on the Mount of Olivet and he ascended back to the Father and he told them, "Tarry, if you see me leave, I'm coming back." I'd rather watch him walk out of my situation for a while, knowing that he's coming back.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
You get me?
Yep.
Than to have him right in my face every minute, every moment, making all over me. Are you with me? So that 40 days that Jesus was on earth, that's what the Lord began to speak to me about early this morning. See, and Paul gives a short list here in 1 Corinthians of validation that Jesus resurrected. He was given a validation for the gospel he's preaching. He was given a list of validating the proof of the resurrection of Jesus here in 1 Corinthians 15. You can read more of it if you'd like to. But it's interesting that Paul sees himself as missing those 40 days. He said, as one born out of due time. In other words, the timing was off. Paul sees himself as missing that 40 days as one born out of time. See, the timing was wrong. Do you know what the Greek word used here for born out of due time is a word that means abortion, stillbirth, or miscarriage. So Paul literally felt like that he missed the opportunity to experience Jesus like all these other disciples and apostles did, because he was too busy persecuting the church.
Wow.
That's why he said, I'm the least among all of these. Among all of you, I'm the least. Because I spent my time persecuting the church of God, and you all were hanging out with Jesus.
Right.
He said, so I feel like that my timing is off. I was born out of time. Something was miscarried. Something was aborted. I missed something. He missed the first Pentecost because he was too busy persecuting the church. He missed that upper room experience. He missed that upper room revelation. But he would be able to celebrate it from now on. Because of God's timing. Are you with me? He may have felt like he missed that first one. But because God was a God of patterns, and God, he may have felt like that all the years, amen, that he had lost, the years that the locust had eaten and the cankerworm had destroyed, amen, the years that had been taken from him, almost as if he had never been born, or he was born early, miscarried, and aborted, amen, and then born too late. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. God said, I got you, Paul. I got it all figured out, because if you stay in alignment with me and you show up on Pentecost next year, I'm going to give you, somebody better help me, I'm going to give you a revelation. I'm going to visit you. I'm going to open up heaven, and I'm going to pour out upon you, and it's going to be as if all the years that the locusts have eaten and the cankerworm has destroyed is going to be restored unto you. Who am I talking to today? Somebody in here today, right now, you're regretting the years, the recent years that you've neglected the goodness of God. I come to tell you that Pentecost is on the way. Amen. And it's not Pentecost yet, but in between then and now, if you'll hear what God will do, and you'll position yourself and say yes, he'll bring you glory to God. He'll zip you right to where you would be, just as if you had never lost those years. I feel that in the Holy Ghost for somebody today. He's going to restore the years. Talking about when it's not Pentecost yet, that tells you that God had Paul in mind the whole time. And he's got you and me in the same mind. And he had us in mind at the same time that he had Paul in mind. So there were several important events that I think is worthy to kind of look at real quickly in the 40 days that Jesus was on earth between resurrection and Pentecost. See, we're not, Paul's issue was afraid that they were going to doubt the resurrection. Now, if you doubt the resurrection, you need born again. Period. We're talking about you believe. You believe up to that point. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? But sometimes in between new life and fresh revelation, there's some struggle. And that's what I want to talk to you about here at the last part of this. See, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and even the book of Corinthians. gives us details of all of these things that happened the 40 days between Jesus resurrecting and his ascension back to heaven. They're chronologically scattered, but it's still a timetable leading to Pentecost. So you got to take some time. How many knows what I'm talking about? Because, you know, John's like Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and that woman and another woman came. But then Luke says, but Mary Magdalene left and met him. And then you know, Matthew says, but Peter met him. And but then they says, well, you know, Mark says that the women went and told Peter. So who's right? They're all right. They give different accounts. But if you take the time, study, to show your freedom approved.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Study to show why you believe he's resurrected. You'll see the chronological order. And it all makes sense. You just got to do a little work. You got to put it together. And we ain't going to do that today because it takes too much time. Uh-huh. Some of you already been like, But they're there. And Jesus made a number of appearances to his followers in these 40 days between resurrection and his ascension. He made several appearances. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 3 says, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Now, see, that's enough for me. I don't even have to dissect it and put it all out. Luke wrote it in Acts. Okay. I believe that. Right? I believe that because it's his word. Now, we know that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Joanna, and Salome went to visit the tomb of Jesus. After the Sabbath, they went to visit the tomb. They discovered that Jesus was not the tomb. And they went to go tell the others. Now, somehow, Mary Magdalene separated from these other women. Nobody gives us those details, they just tell us. And one place that she did. And Jesus found her weeping. She was weeping. And he asked her why she was weeping. And she perceived that he was the gardener. See, she couldn't recognize Jesus through all of her tears and her sorrow. The pain was real. She said, they've taken his body, and I don't know where they put it. She didn't know he'd risen yet. She was weeping because she said, they took his body, and I don't know where they put it. And he said, Mary. And she grabbed hold of his garment. She grabbed hold of him. And she didn't want to let go. Because it was then when he said her name. Through the tears, through the pain, the grief, the sorrow. She didn't even ask, take time to figure out why. She's like, that's Jesus. Who cares where his body is? He's alive. I'm crying over nothing. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I'm trying to figure out where he is, and he's been right here the whole time. Come on, somebody, who am I talking to today? I'm talking about, amen, the 40 days. Amen, when it's not Pentecost yet. You've had that experience, and you believe, but something is just troubling you, and you can't see him through all the pain and the tears and the disappointment. Hallelujah. And she grabbed hold of him, but he said, stop holding. hang on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. So don't touch me, Mary. Let go and do not touch me, because I have not taken the blood sacrifice back to the mercy seat in heaven yet. So I can't have you touching me. I need somebody to help me. He said, I haven't went to the Father yet. And he couldn't stay. But he said, go tell my brothers that I have risen, that I am alive. She did, and they didn't believe her. Now imagine having that kind of encounter, that kind of breakthrough, when you thought he was gone, you thought he was nowhere to be found, you thought he had left you and you were disappointed and broken, hallelujah, but then he called you by name to let you know, I've been here all along. You got a fresh revelation, you got a renewal. Now you go tell somebody, look what the Lord has done for me, and they're not going to believe you. That's all a fairy tale. That's not real. There's no way that he's alive. When you have to wait and others don't believe, you still trust. Because you know you've seen him. Are you with me? That's what Paul was talking about. Talking about everybody that had seen Jesus. Now Jesus visited the other women. And he told them to go tell his brothers as well. He said, go tell my brothers. Meanwhile, the chief priests were spreading lies on the ones that they were supposed to go tell that Jesus was alive, saying that they had stolen the body while the guard was asleep because they didn't want to get in trouble for letting Jesus escape out of the tomb. So while Jesus, Mary Magdalene, was getting revelation, and she went to tell them Jesus is alive, and he spoke to the other women, and he said, go tell my brothers. They didn't believe them either. In the meantime, amen, the chief priests are conspiring, amen, and making up lies about the disciples, saying that they stole their body. So now they got to go hide. Now they got to go, amen, look for a place, amen, to stay secluded, because now, oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? Who's ever been in that period of waiting when you don't know what to do and you don't know what it's going to be like, and it feels like and looks like, because the tomb is empty, that Jesus, amen, is gone somewhere, hallelujah, but you're trusting and you're believing, and now the enemy is going to show up and bring confusion. See, he was taking advantage of the disciples' doubt. There was doubt now. And now the enemy was going to bring confusion. So where there's already doubt, see, that's why you've got to trust and know him. Know his timing. Know that he works in these patterns and these cycles. And that even if it feels like you're in hell, he's there. He's with you. Are you understanding me? And then in that 40 days, he shows up. And Cleopas and another disciple were on their way to Emmaus. And they were sad, distraught, because he had not risen. It was the third day. No Jesus. Have you ever been there when you've held to his word and it didn't happen the way and when you thought it would, and you begin to doubt and you begin to struggle and you begin to feel downhearted? And they were just like that. And as they were on their way to Emmaus, Jesus shows up. Now, here's the thing. They weren't among the 12, but they were still followers. Are you with me? He appeared to them, Love story short, they're talking, telling him all about what happened. And he begins, he's listening. And they get to their house. And he convinces them to break bread. And when he blessed the bread, and he broke it, their eyes were opened. And they said, didn't our hearts burn when he was talking? Are you with me? They felt forgotten. They felt left out. They felt no need to stay in Jerusalem. Come on, somebody. They felt no need to stay. Confused, hurt, and distraught. They felt like a nobody. Can I tell you that you may feel less than? You may feel like you are an non-essential in the eyes of some of the other disciples. But if you're a follower of Jesus, he's going to make sure that you know he's with you. That what he has spoken is coming to pass. Do you understand? Some of you in here today feel like you're less than others. And the enemy will cause you to try to do things to measure up to them. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? And then you miss God. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, amen, that sometimes in that 40 days you feel like that, but Jesus is going to show up. He's going to do. You just got to wait and you got to trust. And then the Bible says he appeared to the other 11 except for Thomas. I'm not done. Just hang on. One good thing about the buffet is they replenish it. They wipe off all the sticky fingers and things that went in the first round. Makes it clean for some more. Come on. You feel me?
Yeah.
You might be feeling something later. Hallelujah. But listen. I don't want to get distracted. He appeared to the other 11 except for Thomas. And they were in the room. They were hiding. They were afraid because of the gossip and the rumor, the lie that had been spread about them. Jesus walks through the wall. He didn't even knock on the door. They didn't even have to get up.
Right.
He just walked through the wall. Some of you would start speaking in tongues in a minute. Come on, Jesus ever walked the road. You'd be like, ho. And one of them yelled out, it's a ghost. They thought it wasn't real. Until he sat down and he ate with them. And proved to them he was the real thing. And no matter what the enemy does, no matter how many lies, no matter how many things he accuses you of, and no matter where it takes you, even if it's a room and behind closed doors, if you will prepare a meal and you will set a table, Jesus will show up.
Amen.
And he'll not only show up, but he'll fellowship with you. He'll eat with you. And they knew when Jesus ate with them that this was him. Are you getting an understanding about the 40 days? You know, all the doubt and the fear and the confusion and the disappointment and the struggle, not even knowing what was coming. Amen. On that 50th day, are you with me? I don't know what's going to show up on June 16th. Hallelujah. But I know this. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there. Doesn't matter to me what comes out of heaven. I know that whatever comes, it's going to be good. Amen. And it might be gooder for you than it is for me, but it's still my good and it's your good. And that's going to make both of us better. And when we're better, hallelujah, that means we can become the best. The best that God has created and called us to be. Now later, they told Thomas, dude, Jesus walked through the wall. He's alive. Thomas said, I don't believe it. And I won't believe it till I put my finger in my hand in his nail prints and my finger in the hole in his side. I don't believe it until then. And the Bible tells us, he said, I have to know for myself. I need somebody to get that today. We look at Thomas negatively too often. Come on. If we would do a little more of what Thomas did and quit relying on somebody else's word and get a real touch for ourselves. Come on, somebody. Get our hand in his hand. Come on. No, beyond the shadow of a doubt, amen, there will not be any devil that be able to take it away from you. Well, come on, somebody. Come on. I believe in prophecy. I believe in the gift of prophecy sometimes. And I told God, God, I don't want a word. I need you to tell me for myself. I need to know for myself. That's how I knew to quit singing. When we traveled and sang 17 years, it was our future. It was supposed to be our destiny. But God spoke to me and said, I want you to quit. I don't want you to do it anymore. I got other things for you to do. That season is over. I struggled. I questioned God. For a year, I kept doing it miserable until my lovely wife said, don't you think it's time to stop? It's up to you to do something. And I told God, I need to know for myself, don't you? I don't want you sending nobody to me. I don't want to hear a word from nobody. And I didn't mean that ugly, but God, if you can't tell me, then I don't need to do it. If I can't know beyond the shadow of a doubt, then I can't do it. And the Lord gave me, unequivocally gave me a dream and showed me that I was out of his will for staying in that place and that I needed to move because there were souls that were required of me and they were waiting on me to make my move. And I was going backwards instead of forwards. Amen. And so I knew and I told, amen, the family, told the group, they all hated me. Amen. They were all upset and angry. They really were. They were confused. And troubled. And I've said this before. My own mom told me, son, I think you missed God this time. Well, if I did, I did. But I know what he showed me. And we were somewhere, and I had a friend, a lady, she came, she said, how are you doing? I said, I'm good. She said, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I said, you have? And that's when we still had answer machines. That tells you how long ago that was. And she said, I called you, and I left you a message. And she said, but I never heard back from you. I said, I never got no message from you. And she said, well, I called and left you a message. I said, what was the message? She said, I wanted to tell you that I feel like God said that you need to do it. You need to do it. I said, well, I can tell you why I never got the message, because I told God that I didn't want nobody else to tell me. I still don't know how that didn't show up in the Holy Ghost or Richard or what, but you know what? After the fact, I was like, yeah, hallelujah. Thank God I did it, and I know I'm supposed to do it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That was 1995, and here we are. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm still singing, but not in the same capacity. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I didn't want to take somebody else's word for it. You know why? Because when all hell broke loose, and during the times in these 26 years that we've been pastoring, and I've wanted to walk away, and the enemy said, you missed it. You mess up. You're not doing right. You're not doing up. It should be this. It should be that. You should be here by now. That should be there by now. Hallelujah. If I would have went on somebody else's word, I could have easily wavered and said I miss God. But I can always take him back to when I put my finger in the side of his down. Amen. That nail print. And I knew for myself. And when Thomas see me and Jesus showed up and he touched him, nobody could ever take that from him. You call him doubting Thomas. I call him trusting Thomas. I want to know for myself. Come on. And so if you're going on somebody else's word, if you're in the season between Pentecost and Passover and you're waiting on a word, ask God to show you, speak to you, so that you can stand on your word. Somebody. I'm trying to finish. If he said he's going to heal you, he'll heal you. If he said he's going to do it, he'll do it. Thomas said, I ain't taking anybody's word for it. You guys are hiding in a room. Why would I want your word? Come on. Help me, Jesus. I wouldn't even go there. But here's what I want to leave you with that, and I'm about to finish. But I saw this morning, for the first time, that what Thomas did was he partook in the suffering of Jesus by putting his hand in the hole that was in his side, touching the nail prints in his hands. He made himself familiar with the suffering. It ain't going to be easy. And he promised there'd be suffering. But he also promised that he'd see you through it. And already made a way out of it. And that it won't last. Matter of fact, it could be over in about 4 weeks. I don't know. But it's not Pentecost yet. But when it's not Pentecost yet, you still got to trust him. And somewhere in there, in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, it tells us one time that Jesus had a personal encounter with Peter. He had a personal meeting with Peter. That's all it says. Yeah. That Jesus met with Peter. This was after his resurrection. So Peter had this personal meeting. And then I've often wondered what they talk about. Did he tell Jesus, I'm so sorry that I betrayed you? I know I said I wouldn't, but I did. I'm so sorry, Jesus. I'm so not worthy of you. Come on, I did, you know?
Yeah.
Or was it just like, dude, it's you. I'm glad you didn't listen to me. Peter tried to get him to stay away from the cross. I'm glad you didn't listen, Jesus. Huh? Peter tried to tell him, no, you don't need the cross. That's not the will of God. Jesus said, get behind me, devil. Get behind me, Satan. You tempted me to stop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Come on. But then he later meets Peter while he's fishing with some other disciples. And he asked Peter a question. Now remember, they've already had a meeting. This is not Peter's first encounter with Jesus. Luke tells us they met somewhere in between all that. And Jesus said, Peter? Peter's probably like, I got the intel. I'm sure Peter was like, guys, I met him. Him and I had one-on-one. If you did ask today, he'd be like, look who I had a meeting with today. Snapchat that. What did you do, Snapchat? I don't even know. I don't have it. What did you do with it? I don't know. I don't care. Yeah, okay. This is not stupid. Real stupid anyway. I'm old. But he said to me, he said, Peter? Peter said, yes. Do you love me? Peter said, yes, you know I do. He said, feed my sheep. They're sitting there. Hey, Peter. Yes, Master. Do you love me?
Yes.
Feed my sheep. He said, Peter. Yes, Master. Do you love me? Yes. That's the third time you've asked me. Yes, I do. Feed my lambs. Three times. Jesus asked him, confirmed, broke every curse of Peter denying Jesus.
Wow.
He denied Jesus three times, said, I don't know him. His confession, his revelation in that 40 days broke off that curse, that word curse over him, saying, I don't know him. Nope, that wasn't me. That wasn't me with him three times. He'll show up got your destiny in his hands. He knows the future. He was preparing Peter for a permanent spiritual role. Not just some temporary. See, that's what you got to understand. That's why you're going through some of the stuff you're going through. Because, you know, when it was all good and you were feeling the Holy Ghost and your bumps were having bumps and you were all in it and your fasting went well and you didn't puke, you didn't have a headache, and, you know, it went well, you weren't tempted at all, you're on the mountain. Yes, Lord, whatever you want, I will do. Oh, yes, God. Yes. Yes, Pastor, that's it. We're there. Yes. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's it. God's going, okay. It's time to go from temporary to permanent.
Amen.
He was preparing Peter for a permanent spiritual role. Not just some little fisherman. Not just some part-time. Help me now. And that's why some of you are going through what you're going through. And that's why he's asking you, do you love me? You sure you love me? Did you mean what you said? You said, God, I'll do whatever you want to do. When you was laying flat on the floor, and been feeling it in your Holy Ghost euphoria, he was like, yes, yes, yes. Come on, you know it's true. And he said, okay, do you love me? Do you really love me? And then he appeared to more than 500 men at one time. But not all of them believed. Not all of them believed. Or some of them were too busy to follow through. Because there was only 120 that showed up in the upper room.
Amen.
So the other 380 plus were not accounted for. I'm getting ready. I'm going to get ready to cut the music. See, the enemy wants to take your follow through. Because I can imagine in the moment that they were there, like, come on. It's Jesus. His resurrected body on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking to them. And you know they got to be. But something took their follow through. They got distracted between the Mount of Olives and the upper room. Too busy. Don't get too busy to follow through with your commitment to your relationship with the Lord. Don't get too busy. Don't allow the enemy to get you distracted.
Right.
And then Paul said something. He said Jesus appeared to his half-brother, James. James was skeptical. Here's what James struggled with. That his half-brother was the Son of God.
Yeah.
He struggled with it. He struggled with the very deity of Jesus. The very position that Jesus held with the Father. He doubted and he was skeptical that Jesus was the Son of God. Here's what I got to think about. Jesus appeared to him. And not only had Jesus resurrected, and there would be no doubt for that, right? James couldn't doubt that. Because he watched them take him down, put him in the grave. And then here Jesus is, and he appeared to him. But here's the other thing I've got to think about. For me, maybe that would have been enough to wipe all the skepticism and doubt away. But James grew up with Jesus. They were half-brothers. Only the last 3.5 years of his life did he not spend as much time with them. But you understand me? They grew up together. And I don't know about you, but I know my brother. And my brother knows me. I know my sister. And my sister knows me. Why? Because we grew up together. And me, especially Colleen, we conspired and done some stuff that we shouldn't. My first experience smoking a cigarette was my dad's Camo cigarette butts, no filter. I was just a kid. Woo. I used to make Mike pay me to not tell him. And I did. Be dumb enough to do it, I'm dumb enough to take it. I said, if you don't pay me, I'm gonna tell him. And he knew I meant it. He was sneaking smoke. And he would hide his cigarettes in our closet in my shower. And he'd hide his cigarette pack cigarettes up in the top of the closet. I'd take the cigarette pack, I would break all the cigarettes up, throw them away, put the empty pack back up in there. What could he say? If he said he told him, he would get in trouble for smoking. And he still paid me to not tell him to smoke it. So we knew each other. My point being, none of us were innocent.
Right.
But not only did James see that Jesus resurrected, but he grew up with him and he knew he was pure. He knew he had never seen Jesus do anything sinful. So you know what? He's the Son of God. He must be who he said he's going to be. That purity. I said all of that to tell you that in this waiting between Passover and Pentecost, that a lot of things, a lot of doubt, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of situations, circumstances, things that don't make sense will be there. And when it's not Pentecost yet, still means Pentecost is coming. And Jesus will show up for you, to you, with you, for you, if you will posture your heart and believe in this process and believe that he's going to show up. It will come at the appointed time. Unfortunately, it's not today. Nothing wrong with people celebrating. I'm not saying anything negative at all. I'm just telling you, I'm glad it happened today because I ain't ready. I'm honest. I'm not ready. But it's coming. It's coming. That appointed time. And if I show up under that open window, that open heaven, God is going to follow through. And he's going to release a refreshing, a fresh wind, a fresh fire, a restoration, a renewal, revival. But you have to believe, trust, and obey until it comes. You have to follow through and do all of that. When it's not Pentecost yet, you have to receive the encounters, the trials, and the changes, knowing that it's coming. Renewing, refreshing, breaking through is coming. 10 days they were in that upper room, same way across this place. 10 days they were in that upper room. They had to keep praying, praising, and trusting the whole time. Nothing wavering. And he showed up. Pentecost is coming. And it'll happen. God just says, will you be there to receive in the Spirit? As they begin to worship all across this place, I sense there's some people here. I know the service got delayed and different things has not went. Certainly didn't go the way I planned. That's just how God is. But I feel like there's some folks here today. You're wavering in your decisions. You're here today and you've been evaluating your life. You've been evaluating your years. You've been evaluating, for some of you, it's been an absence. There's just been something pulling, something drawing, something driving you in the midst of difficulties. You're feeling the pull of God. I will tell you that the appointed time is on its way. It's coming. Just as Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives and said that if I go and you see me go, I'll come back again. Just as he said he would, he's coming back. But he's only going to take back with him those who are ready, his bride, those who are part of his covenant. So if you're here today, I need some prayer warriors, some intercessors to start praying right now. Some of you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I feel some warfare for some people here today. If you need to leave, we understand. Just do so quietly. But I feel some warfare for some folks today. We're trying to waver in that decision. The enemy